From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. On Sunday, a six-hour version of Tony Kushner's award-winning play about the early years of the AIDS epidemic begins airing on HBO. Angels in America stars Al Pacino, Meryl Streep, and Emma Thompson. The HBO film, like the original production, is divided into two parts, The Millennium Approaches and Perestroika. When Angels first opened in the early 90s, it was hailed for its brilliant writing, quick wit, and its unflinching portrayal of America in the 1980s. NPR's Lynn Neary has this story on the play's journey from the stage to the small screen.
For executive producer Carrie Brokaw, the making of a film version of Angels in America began 13 years ago, before the first major production had even been staged. Brokaw heard about Angels from some friends who had attended a workshop performance in 1989. They were so enthusiastic that Brokaw immediately tracked down a copy of the play and read it.
I thought it was magnificent and worked on every possible level, and at that point, I began to pursue Tony about the possibility of doing a film based on the play.
It is the writing above all else that sets Angels in America apart. Tony Kushner's mastery of the language and love of words is evident even in the most intimate moments, such as this scene, where the character of Pryor tells his lover Lewis that he has AIDS by showing him a cancerous lesion that's one of the complications of the disease.
What? Tell me.
Chaos, baby. Lesion number one.
Wine dark kiss of the angel of death.
Oh, please.
I'm a legionnaire.
Foreign lesion.
The American lesion. Legionnaire's disease.
Stop.
My troubles are lesion.
Will you stop?
Don't you think I'm handling this well?
It took Kushner 8 years to write Angels in America, and at first he was skeptical that it could be turned into a film. It's a play of epic proportions, involving not only the story of gay men struggling with AIDS and a young Mormon man confronting his own homosexuality, but also such historical figures as Roy Cohn and Ethel Rosenberg, not to mention angelic visions. Kushner did not want to see the epic nature of his play compromised.
I feel that one of the pleasures of the epic form is its length and its size, its scope. And I didn't really see how, especially in the early days when we were talking about making this into a theatrically released film, I couldn't imagine how you would preserve that quality. I thought, oh, this is going to become sort of some really crushed and compacted version. And I didn't think that that would work.
The early attempts to make a film fell through. Then about 3 years ago, Mike Nichols expressed interest in directing Angels for HBO. From the start, says Colin Callender, HBO's vice president for film, no one had reservations about showing Angels on television. The real question, says Callender, was how to transform a uniquely theatrical experience into a unique film experience.
But the big challenge, of course, was there is a sort of fantastic quality to Angels in America, and at times you live inside the characters' heads, their own, you live inside their own fantasies and their own imaginations and their own dreams, and the question was how to dramatize those sequences in a way that was cinematic.
The fantasy sequences involve a dying Roy Cohn in dialogue with Ethel Rosenberg, an emotionally disturbed, pill-popping young Mormon wife living out her hallucinations, and a young gay man stricken with AIDS envisioning an angel crashing through the ceiling of his hospital room.
I have returned, prophet, and not according to plan.
Take it back! The book, whatever you left in me, I won't be its repository. I reject it.
Kushner, who adapted his own play for the HBO film, says Nichols and he worked to retain some of the obvious artifice of the theater. Most of the actors, for instance, play two or three different parts. Mixed with the artifice, says Kushner, is the kind of intimate reality that only film can provide.
When you're watching these people sort of tear at each other and tear at themselves and misbehave and suffer, you feel enormously compelled. I mean, some of the most stunning acting I've seen, in a long time. But you also are reminded in little ways, in the way that it's filmed and the way that it sounds, that you're seeing a movie and that you're hearing text that's prepared. I mean, he preserved the some aspect of almost the playwriterliness of the text, and I think that that's important to it. I think it keeps you thinking in a more complicated way.
The only actor in the film who also appeared in the stage production is Jeffrey Wright, who plays the nurse Belize. The real star of Angel, says Wright, is the words, and he says the intimacy of film allows the words to truly shine.
These are characters who speak with grand language and who also express large ideas. You know, they don't grunt much. They attack the issues, and they're big issues, and they, you know, they require a certain eloquence. And that might be jarring, not because it's theatrical writing, but it's writing that that is aspiring to something beyond, you know, what we normally see on television.
Wright's character, Belize, is the moral center of the play. He provides both friendship and comfort to Pryor when Lewis leaves him because he has AIDS. He also nurses a dying Roy Cohn, who lies about the fact that he has AIDS, and takes out his angry bigotry on Belize. Flamboyantly gay and black, Belize takes in the hypocrisy he sees around him and spits his own anger out in a stunning indictment of America's failure to live up to its ideals.
Big ideas are all you love. America is what Lewis loves.
So what? Maybe I do. You don't know what I love. You don't.
I hate America, Lewis. I hate this country. Nothing but a bunch of big ideas and stories and people dying and then people like you. The white cracker who wrote the national anthem knew what he was doing. He set the word free to a note so high nobody could reach it. That was deliberate. Nothing on earth sounds less like freedom to me.
It's the kind of speech, Tony Kushner acknowledges, that one doesn't hear often in the post-9/11 world. But Kushner makes no apologies for the politics of his play. After all, he says, generating debate is one of the purposes of theater.
Because the only hope for this country or for any country is that dissent is constantly articulated, that it's constantly put in front of the citizenry to consider, to debate over, to talk about. It's a terrible thing when a country becomes so self-satisfied and so smug and self-assured that it actually believes itself to be essentially beyond criticism simply by virtue of the fact that it's beyond criticism.
Tony Kushner wrote Angels in America more than a decade ago. The world has changed a great deal since then. But the words Kushner crafted so carefully have not become outdated. They speak to conditions that are timeless and are still relevant in a millennium that is no longer approaching, but has arrived. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.